Welcome back. The whole question of overtime regarding these SSA and the BWA, you know, it's really critical because we're talking about essential services, in particular Water Authority, who has a monopoly on a necessity. And one has to be very careful too when you're negotiating your overtime. I understand from Mr. Glenn Murray just now, I did not hear the extract from Mr. Carl Boyce. So I can't really speak to that if it was announced or not. I didn't hear it for myself that the BWA is no longer giving overtime. But again, when one is doing that, we have to then look at the productivity and the impact it may have on the service delivery. Overtime is not a must, but when you are talking about an essential service like the Barbados Water Authority, the thing with garbage is a little different. If you want to be able to keep your garbage inside, keep the scraps of food in the freezer and throw a little Clorox on it and it's outside, you may be able to endure a week or two. Certainly with water, you can't go past a few days without water, and if you don't get it, of course, it's an inconvenience for you to leave home to find water at a standpipe and catch a bucket and drive, and some people who don't even have cars. So it could have its impact. So it'd be interesting to hear going down the line how that is going to be negotiated, or is it official that the Barbados Water Authority is no longer doing overtime? And you know, maybe Mr. Carl Boyce could probably, if he wants to expand on it, feel free to do so. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I would think that one's view of history has to be connected to an opinion of the relevance of a particular event in time from which that history flows.
Once you have the facts, then you have an opinion, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, the fact could just probably be the actions of people, because you never know what happens in people's minds. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to talk slowly.
I enjoy when you speak.
Because you're always conscious of the fact that you have only so much time and you want to get a lot of stuff in.
Okay.
So, independence means one thing for one set of people and something completely different for another set. For me, baby in diapers or whatever at that time, even those who have been born before, independence really should not mean that much of make that difference at all for anyone before or after 1966. Independence would have meant something of significance for people who had the power in their hands to tax, to create laws, and to do just about anything they wanted to do without having to seek permission from some oversight authority that probably was located, you know, in England. They had the freedom to spend taxpayers' money in any which way that they could. Independence was relevant, and what you did was you created a flag, you created an anthem, you created a pledge of allegiance, oath of allegiance, and a pledge to a flag, and all these things to give people the impression that, hey, we are now a separate and distinct entity from the rest of the Caribbean. Let's move forward. Which really and truly was a backward step. But it made sense for the people who were in authority to make those laws and tax people. And it has been so ever since. Now, there are people who may want to add more relevance to it, but there really is none. There really is no more than that. There were people in Barbados who recognized that this represented a concentration of power within the hands of a few kinds of people, fraternities, as I call them. And they were very, very concerned about that. Of course, those people, if they had the power to act against that particular concentration of power, would be considered threats. And every nature, any kind of description to make these people look wrong or mad or some, you know, in some way unattractive to the Barbadian public, any measure that was available would have been taken to take these people out. Now, I would say to you point blank that Cindy Burnett was not alone in his thinking. They had many, many people who recognized that the grassroots politicians were being pushed to the back, and somehow the fraternity was grabbing hold of the power that was available and moving forward with it. We are paying the price for not stopping that from those years ago. Cindy Burnett, yes, was a threat to the Barbados government. He wasn't really a threat to the Barbados people, but he was certainly a threat to the people who were in power, who were prepared to do what they were continuing to do, but without his passport was removed and he had to get back here. The things I heard about Sidney Burnett, Aline, I do not believe because they are too far-reaching. Yeah, come on. You know, he was just somebody who had the power to do stuff that most people did not have that kind of power or wealth at their disposal. Mm-hmm. I say to you, if Breonna Fenty decided to run as Michael West at the next general election, if she decided to pose the Prime Minister of Barbados and pay for her own campaign, she would beat the Prime Minister of Barbados hands down. Sidney Burnett moved at a level that most Barbados could not even appreciate. He was wealthy, and he was very well known outside of Barbados. Yes, he was popular, and therefore he was a threat. That is what threats are. And how he was treated is how threats are treated. But at that point, even at that point, there really was no need to bring a Barbados Defense Force into being. And that was back in 1976 or 75 or something. Mm-hmm. And he was removed. He was put in jail or something for some reason. He just gave up and said, I'm done with that. He's probably still alive somewhere in England. But unfortunately, you can't interview him because I don't think he's of sound mind. He was a threat, yes, but not to the people of Barbados. He was a threat to the established and the ongoing concentration of power within the hands of a few. As it stands, there was a real and present threat to that idea that came up afterwards. So Sidney Burnett was claimed to have moved with arms and bombs or guns, which I do not believe, but then, you know, I was not there, and I don't think the true facts would ever become clear. But an overthrow did take place mm-hmm. in a country next door that had we all have dictators. The Prime Minister right now is a dictator. All the Prime Ministers we've had in the Caribbean are 5-year dictators. So we just can't refer to Gary as being a dictator because he was one of many. But it was the direction that he was taking and the recognition that there's nothing you can do other than every 5 years go to a poll and vote. So these guys came forward and said, we got to do things differently because he's not moving fast enough and we got to do it. And they were successful. The New Jewel Movement came into being in 1979 and they succeeded where everyone else in the Caribbean had failed other than Fidel Castro back in 1958 or something. I don't know when it was. Mm-hmm. He succeeded, and that was a real and present threat to the established status quo, to the fraternity who have now got all the power that they need to have, not the Barbadian people. It was a threat to the Prime Minister of Barbados and by extension his cabinet, and by extension the legal fraternity, and by extension the mercantile group that back the legal fraternity or support them or pay for their salaries and everything else. It was a threat to the established. The Defense Force came into being only because of that threat. There was no other reason for it. The Defense Force in Barbados is alive today for that reason and no other reason for it.
So there's still a positive story. So you're trying to say there's still a positive side to the whole Sidney Burnett, Aline, which, by the way, if you check, there was an interview the Weekend Nation had with him, I think, back February 3rd, 1984, where he was when he spoke to them via phone, only God knows. And but he has here in one of the clips, he says, I know they watch me, but I am outside their reach, says the man who's...
Yeah, but it's really interesting.
It's interesting, but the whole history of this is very interesting, and a lot of people don't know about this, huh?
But a lot of people don't. Because history affects us to this day. Well, and if you're going to continue believing that independence is such an important thing to all the Barbadians who run with the flag and that kind of thing, when in fact it probably works more against them than for them, and they see these political parties and the people who support them as being saviors and people you should name hospitals after and so on, it recognizes some shortcoming in those who prepare to tell what the history of Barbados really was all about. There are two sides to every story and a third side, which happens to be the truth. Now, like I'm saying, I do not know Sidney Burnett. I have not been in his head. Nor do I know Tom Adams. I have not been in his head. Mm-hmm. But I could only make my conclusion based on what I see happening and the time and the reactions and what is available and what has been printed in the media.
Well, basically, you know, from the really information that you would have gathered, and hopefully that is factual, you have an opinion based on the facts. That's basically what it is.
What took place? Mm-hmm. What happened?
Because you weren't there, as you said.
And being a human being, this is how I would respond if put in the same position as the other person and the interest that I would have represented at that time. And again, Tom Adams, and look, I'm not the only person. Gabby brought a song 4 years later, Boots, Government Boots. Does it make sense paying army troops when you got children all about the place starving and stuff, and then you send them to Grenada, not to Grenada, to Vincent, to a non-existent rebellion? It's not me alone that hold this opinion, and the people, you know, even bigger than Gabby, that would recognize that the Defense Force really and truly have no real purpose. If you're not going to give them tanks and airplanes and bomber fighters fighter jets and all kinds of weapons to really engage you know, a serious threat to the Barbadian population. They are nothing more than a group of people who are just put there to defend the Prime Minister and her or his cabinet. That's it. That's all it is, against Barbadians like myself, who may not have, who may have a difficulty with the things that are being done. It doesn't mean I'm going to raise up in arms and stuff and make noise and that kind
well,
of thing.
Well, that might have been the case if you know, they were farm-based on a threat.
Has it changed the rules or anything? I don't think so.
Well, I think that the defense force is there for a lot more.
I feel safer with the police than I feel with the defense force. I do, because they are not there to defend me. But the police are.
Well, fair enough.
I think the defense force... And they have a job to defend me and protect and serve. The defense force
don't. Okay, you hang on 1 second. Basically, because we're going to have to wrap up this call. What I'm saying to you is your opinion is that the defense force is not there for the public. It's there to protect the prime minister and her cabinet.
Correct. Okay. 100%.
And that is your opinion. My opinion is that even if out of the incident with Cindy Burnett, Aline...
Not Cindy Burnett. No, New Jura Movement. They came about because of the overthrow of the Gary administration in Grenada 2 months previous.
Well, the point is that things come out of various things, and sometimes bad things have to happen in order for good things to come out of it.
Well, no, you're not
so
good thing here.
If the defense force came out of that threat...
the only good thing is that they employ people. That is the only
good
thing.
And the threat then, or the defense force, was only put there to protect a prime minister and the cabinet at the time. I certainly think that in 2019, the defense force that I see on the ground is certainly there for more than just to protect the prime minister and
her
cabinet.
That's your opinion too, isn't it?
And you need to respect that like I respect yours. And on that note, have a good day, and we do have to take another call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning. You're on the air. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I've had the privilege to meet Sidney Burnett Allen. I was working at a hotel at Sam Lawrence Castle, and he came to Barbados, and he had a number of people staying there. A very bright man, very charming man. So, but I'm not familiar with him. I shouldn't say I'm not familiar with him. I've read the news of his attempts to overthrow Barbados and all of that. But I did have the privilege of meeting the man. Very charming, very bright, very charming man. I call years in the late 1960s and early 70s, there was a character around District Air State Police Station and the Station Hill area who was referred to as Professor Trotman. That was his street name. And he had a saying that I speak to you from a calamity of influence, which is based on a non-compos mentis infrastructure. He would always open his remarks with those words. And I remember Professor Trotman, as I listened to some of the comments being made for or against the issue of squatting at Rock Hall. Mm-hmm. Let me say from the outside that I'm originally from St. Philip. Mm-hmm. I know Rock Hall very well. I had friends who have since migrated from Rock Hall, who lived there, and I used to visit them. And yes, where the squatters is, used to be a dump. It was a quarry, and it was filled in as a dump. We used to refer to it at that time as the Penny Hole Quarry. People were squatting in that area as far back as 18 years. So both administrations have to bear some responsibility for that. I'm advised that since the 2018 general election,
you know what type of dump was it? Was it solid waste? Was it chemical?
It wasn't solid waste. I believe some solid waste and some sewage and some was dumped there illegally.
Okay.
But when it was started as a dump, it was household garbage.
Mm-hmm. Because my thing is I do agree with the fact that no one should be living on a dump. However,
exactly.
However, there's something called methane gas and so on, things that are actually made based on the fact that, you know, landfills are full of them because that's how they come, methane gas and so
on. You've got leaching and all kinds of things that are being built up there because of the heat and so on. So
I heard one person, I didn't go up there, but I know one or two people from there, and I saw a person who's living up there who said that, you know, nothing has happened to him and his children for all the years he's been there. He wanted to even stress not even a call, but
that is fine. Things don't affect something that, you know, if you say another, one man's meat is another man's poison.
I agree, but
something might affect you, and it might not affect me. So I don't think that is a rationale.
It isn't, but I just wanted to know whether or not some testing to see what the methane levels will be on.
I am not sure.
The dump.
But you know, from time to time, landfills tend to combust on their own.
But then but it'd be good to hear from somebody who can say, after 18 years, the level of spontaneous combustion is X percentage. You know, in other words, is now not as high. I don't know. What I'm saying is to give a person $25,000 to move, people who are working for under $15,000, I think.
But I wish to support the Prime Minister for making that gesture to try and find a solution. As far as I'm aware, this is the first time that any solution was offered. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we need to support her in it. And let's, you know, work together and try and see if it can be resolved.
So let me ask you something. And of course, listen, one thing I am sitting in this chair is to be fair. But sure. There's not going to be everything that the Prime Minister will do that I will agree with. Okay?
That's fine. So she's only human.
Exactly. So the question I have, the $25,000 that is being offered to move, where or how are you, what land in this country would cost $25,000 to start with? And are we not at the risk? No, but I'm saying there's a two sides to this. There's a lot of sides to this, really. But if you give me $25,000 and tell me to move out of Rock Hall and I got four children, this $25,000 is to take me where? To pay rent? Buy land? There's no land in Barbados for $25,000.
If we go through it rationally, we might find that the $25,000 may not be adequate. Mm-hmm. And then that is open to negotiation. The government has a lot of land knocking about here, and there was talk in the past about a land bank. So maybe the government is going to utilize some of that land to relocate these people. Mm-hmm. But they have to be relocated in the interest of the safety of the Grantley Adams International Airport. They have to be relocated. Now, if the International Civil Aviation Organization comes to Barbados and does a review of the safety arrangements and the safety protocols of the Grantley Adams Airport, and they are not happy with them, and they go back and tell IATA that the Barbados Airport is not a safe airport because of the squatters and the issue with the radar and the galvanized reflection and so on. Mm-hmm. Major airlines.
Galvanized roofs can be changed, by the way. There's some recyclable plastic material that actually make it roofs right here in Barbados.
I'm not saying that can't happen. That can happen overnight in terms of changing the roofs if you get a certain amount of characters. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying if it went in that direction, international airline carriers, to protect their insurance premiums, may very well drop Barbados from their routes because of the security concern. So just let's be conscious of that.
But what I'm saying is the $25,000, there's a thin line here where the message that some people getting, because there's a lot of mixed views, there's some people in Barbados right now that waiting for housing for the last 20-something years.
Of course.
Okay?
I'm aware of that.
They have jobs. They're going to work. Everybody, they're paying their taxes. They didn't go and squat. Okay? So that's one thing. So you can't really reward.
It should not be supported.
But
or condoned by any party.
Right.
Anybody.
But hold on. That's the first thing that I think needs to be said and to be cleared with everyone. This is not acceptable. However,
it is not acceptable.
This is where we are now.
And I've heard the introduction today of nationals and non-nationals.
That part I don't even want to go there because
it is illegal for nationals.
It is illegal for people to squat. Period. The immigration issue, that's a non-issue as far as I'm concerned.
Doesn't matter.
So right. So that's one. Two. If you go in, I'm sure they're taking some sort of survey down there to see who's working and how many people in a household and so on. I would think that that's the first step before you can jump to what the money would be. Because obviously the Prime Minister did say that it's for households earning $15,000 and under. So there's going to be nothing then for those earning over that. My thing is if you've got government houses, you've got government land, if it is, and people are paying the taxes and people got to pay land tax, some people are not happy with it, of course. But like Minister Indarwe Rare said, we still have to be humane in the way how we do things. And I agree with that 100%.
Of course. I mean, at the end of the day,
but there are still solutions now.
People's lives and their families and their children.
Now, sir, one second. Rock Hall situation is different to Bellevue, the Bell and Licorice Village and My Lords. Because one is a dump. The other one is in terms of the water.
Water table.
Yes, exactly. So the situation for Rock Hall, or should I say the solution for Rock Hall, may not be the same solution for the Bell, because the Bell situation is as simple as going in there and
just
seeing
everything with the same.
No, but you don't have to offer them any money. You should make them pay for the land. In other words, you can put in a sewage system and a filter bed that will protect your water supply, and you don't have to move those people, but you can make them pay a nominal fee
or
whatever it is for the land.
That might be the best solution.
That's the solution for there. But the Rock Hall solution, because it's a double whammy, it's health. And it's also the aviation aspect of things where the safety obviously may be compromised. Then I could understand that you're moving them bit by bit, but you have to be careful that you don't offer a man $25,000 and he becomes homeless.
No, you don't want that either, because then that would create another,
you know, moving,
create another problem. They got something unintended.
I don't know if they mean moving the actual structure, because there's some structures that you can pick down and put back up.
But then you don't
want the squatter to turn back into another squatter squatting somewhere else. So where are they going to?
You don't want a situation where you clear Rock Hall and people move back and say you're going to have to police that as well, because that has happened in Wake Hill.
So what I'm saying is, if you can offer them land at a reasonable price based on their income, based on their means, move them. Because if you just offer the good people of Rock Hall money and they have to move, where are they going to go? And will they go and squat somewhere else?
You don't want that.
So these are things that have to be, in my opinion, it's still got to be tweaked. I think it's commendable, at least as you said, someone came forward with something. But like every solution to a problem, as they try to implement things, you would need to tweak it from time to time. And that would be my concern. But certainly for the people in the Bell, I think that a sewage system and a filter bed, and ask them now to pay, find out now who earns what, and base it on their means, but ask them to pay. It is only fair that if they can pay, let them now pay. You don't have to move everybody, but you can now make that land available at a reasonable price,
minus the
landfill. And that landfill, if they get them all to move, landfills, if they're properly engineered, and it could turn into a park. Funny enough, it can.
It can.
You don't have to live there, but you can certainly prepare the ground for cricket or something, or a little play park. So it still can be utilized. But you got to wrap it up.
One other quick point here on overtime. Overtime is a management decision and a feature. And if you are running constant overtime, weekly overtime, constant overtime in your business, then there's something wrong with your management structure. You should have overtime when there are emergencies or unexpected issues. But during the normal, routine, day-to-day operation of your business, there should be no overtime.
I agree. Poor supervision leads to that. Let's take, for example, we do have to take a break. Maybe just wrap it up a little bit. If you have a crew doing anything, whether it be sanitation, Barbados Water Authority, whoever, transport board, if you have people out there working and you're to start work at 7:30, you're to finish work at 4:30, and then you have something to do and your job, you were given a job card at 9. Why are you not going to the job at 2:30 to go and get it done? It's only obvious it's going to run into overtime. So who is managing
that
process exactly? However,
if you manage well,
then
there's minimum overtime unless there is an emergency. I can understand the Barbados Water Authority with overtime because nobody, pipes don't have a fixed time to burst. Mains don't have a fixed time to burst.
But so however, there are jobs that you can give people in the morning that you're trying to figure out way again. But again, it is poor management. However, there are some jobs that take long. So it is that the guys start at 9, whether it be sanitation or, you know, because right now the sanitation got a lot of garbage to pick up. I've been driving up and down Barbados.
I'm now into my fourth week.
Right. So again, it's just proper management of it. I think that if they can get
I said earlier this week or last week, if the Sanitation Service Authority and its management team and the minister, if they cannot guarantee the districts in Barbados at least one collection a week, then there's something fundamentally wrong and we need to go back to the drawing board.
Well, we do. But thank you very much for your contribution. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Wayne Warren, Acting Deputy General Secretary of the National Public Workers.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. I need to put a balance to this discussion with the Sanitation Service Authority. Sure. I note the comments with interest. And I know your intervention trying to put a balance to the whole situation of contractual arrangements and trying to negotiate a process. Mm-hmm. Now, let me say up front, sanitation workers should not be blamed for backup of garbage in Barbados. I think this has been made clear in discussions. They are not to blame. What is being put out there to me falsely is that sanitation workers bluntly refusing to work weekends because of overtime, and magically this garbage problem relates to that. That is untrue. Let me explain what is happening right now at SSA. Currently, Bridgetown is serviced on an extended arrangement 7 days a week because the sanitation authority works so that the basic hours, if they are plugging manpower with the basic hours, they will not be able to clean Bridgetown on a 7 days a week basis. What they would have done, though, is invoke an extended hours arrangement beyond the 40 hours so that Bridgetown could be kept clean. Mm-hmm. Similarly, a number of the highways which are clean on Saturdays are not clean with any 5 out of 7. It is clean on the basis of its arrangement beyond the 40 hours. I can tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because the priority was to get garbage removed out of health security of this nation. That's why it was done. No, the other challenges the sanitation face right now, yes, you let us applaud government for the incremental approach of bringing the trucks. That is commendable. Mm-hmm. We hope that would continue until they get the fleet up to the desired level. So let's commend the government for doing that. That is commendable. And also looking at the necessary equipment. What the challenge is currently is that as workers, drivers go on vacation, sick leave, and retire, along with loaders, they're not replacing staff. Right now, sanitation, as I speak, is short of drivers. So you could imagine if you're short of ex-drivers, then the workers who go on the back of those trucks cannot work, will not be able to go either. Mm-hmm. So for the vacation period, because of this whole, everything is blamed on the work program. I think it's being used to the extent that workers are being blamed for everything. This work program, as I speak, so the challenge is this lack of resources, not replacing staff. Now, we can argue, what workers are saying, that yes, all they recognize certain areas must be cleaned by the extended hours, like Bridgetown and the Premier Highways. That for the normal household across the landscape, if you want to apply this 5 out of 7, across the landscape of Barbados, the households will not necessarily see an improved collection. I'm going to tell you why. They are saying a 40-hour work week. There's so much you can do in 40 hours. Whether the 40 hours is spread over Monday to Friday, or whether the 40 hours is spread into Saturdays and Sundays. There's this myth that automatically, if you extend the 40 hours over 7 days instead of 5, more work, more garbage will be collected. That is the theory being advanced. But they are saying this is not so. It is still a 40-hour And the challenge is there's only so much garbage that we collected in a 40-hour arrangement. Mm-hmm. So that is why you went into some extension to prioritize garbage collection. It was about the nation and the priority of getting the streets clean. Obviously, when the government intervened and instructed the board, we want any 507, the board was constrained to collapse or suspend the arrangements where they use some extended hours to get garbage removed, the priority, so their hands were tied. So that was the instruction. Then we look at the economic survey. Was it that it economically it was the economic benefit of the country? But then you heard the argument, well, it is merely a dictate from the program. Now, the workers are saying, look, if you have removed us from the consolidated fund, where the government totally financed the garbage collection as a public good, and you have funded now through a garbage and sewage levy collected by the Barbados Water Authority, why can't the Sanitation Service Authority be mandated to manage the garbage collection, whether it be by basic hours only or basic plus some extra hours, but your priority is to get a scheduled reliable service so that we can ensure the nation of the health nation is not compromised in any way because they want it removed timely. So, but with the program, not necessarily, is not economics, it's just like a dictate that, look, listen, no other thing, absolutely. Now, I don't know exactly what was said when, what was interpreted when they said no overtime across the board. I thought it would have been overtime needs to be managed in cap because contingency situations need contingency responses. Mm-hmm. And there are certain categories that stay continue with overtime, like customs, the areas that you identify that is a condition of employment. Therefore, I still think that the BERT program, within this issue of the BERT program, I don't think is cast in concrete. It's absolutely cast in any concrete where the government can say, look, we treating sanitation as a critical area. Mm-hmm. And because of the critical area, some flexibility has to be obtained for it to function on its own in the most efficient way. Now, I'm hearing everything is in the name of the program. I hear persons coming onto the program. And sanitation workers are saying, we are committed to garbage collection. We don't renege purposely or refuse to work to get overtime. We always move and hustle and bustle to move garbage. We move within the hours allotted to us to move it. But if the hours allotted to us may not be adequate, we cannot dictate to the policyholders whether you were extend the arrangement to remove garbage. So, for example, on the 5 of the 7, this is what it would mean. Mm-hmm. You come in on Saturdays, basic. Yeah. This is your change account. Sunday, basic. Mm-hmm. All those pub holidays, Good Friday and premium holidays, basic. Now, in some, I think in the hotel sector, the any 5 of the 7, the workers were able to still maintain a premium rate for particular days. There's something called a premium rate. So they still have some form of incentives. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two things happening here. One, is it unreasonable, given the nature of these workers' job and their grossly underpaid, to maintain some incentives, even in a steady program, mm-hmm. and let us meet one another half year, mm-hmm. or totally say, listen, you should be grateful you're working. We want the whole hog. We're going basic right through. And we want increased production in the same basic hours that you are giving us. These workers work hard. They hustle. They give up their best. And I'm saying that the answer is not really an absolute situation of saying, well, basic across the board.
But Wayne, you heard me earlier where I said that.
So, and madam, you gave a balance when the Minister Glenmary was down Water Authority. You think you bought that balance in Ayari, you were saying, but terms and conditions, like what, negotiate something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If it's going to be a give and take, you don't want it to be seen an absolute imposition.
Yeah, it got to be able to negotiate with both parties.
And that's what we are saying. Negotiate something. Let the negotiation process give something. But you know what's happening? The workers are being told, listen, this is non-negotiable. Everything is flat and basic. We are not concerned what you are giving up.
But let me ask you a question.
Hello? We can't negotiate this and you must do it. If you don't do it unreasonable,
can you hear me?
What we can do is send you home.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. Sure. So, SSA, there's no final word, basically, on what it is. What is it going to be? Have they negotiated something completely?